At 8:54 on the clock, we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The consent agenda. Number one is general agenda. Number two is approved minutes of meeting held July 18, 2018. Number three, approve all claims through August 1st, 2018 in the amount of $644,905.07. Accept claim number 1808083 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $21,803.28 to be voted on separately below. Number four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Number five, approve declaring the awning that was attached and those that are currently attached to the former bus stop building as surplus and authorizing Dave Jones, building and ground supervisors, to sell the awnings.
We have a little problem here because my amount for Tiemann may be. My glasses don't work like they used to.
Yeah, the glasses.
I tell you. Okay, it's $21,813.28, so up above when you read accept that amount. I had a zero instead of a one there.
When we have a motion to approve or disapprove, we'll have to change it here, too, because that's the way it's listed in this.
But down below it's correct.
Down below amount is correct, so we need to correct it here. Okay.
Why don't we just do the top amount? I'd just soon do the top amount.
Donate.
Yeah, we get to vote on it, Matt.
Maybe the bottom amount's wrong.
The top amount, the 644.
No, the 21803. I missed my
803 instead of 813.
Zero.
Yeah. Your bookkeeper will just drive her crazy.
I was going to say I don't know that it makes much difference, but
$10. Number six, approved utility permit number 1109 Northern Natural Gas Company will be boring a 24-inch steel pipe encased in 25-inch steel pipe. 6 foot below the bottom of ditches, 66 foot under East Ash Road and also South 120th Road to replace existing pipeline located in the northeast 1/4 of section 18, southeast 1/4 of section 7, and southwest 1/4 of section 8, township 6 north, range 8 east of Adams Township.
Move to approve consent agenda with corrections. The correction of $10 to item 3.
Second.
And that would make that amount $21,813.28 to also be the same as down below. Any other comments on consent agenda? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 1808083 to R.L. Tiemann in the amount of $21,813.28. This brings total of claims approved through August 1st, 2018 to $666,718.35.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Next up on the agenda, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comments from the public? Seeing none, we will move on to committee reports. Building ground, winter lights. Dave?
Good morning. During our committee reports, I gave a update on the bus stop. The tanks have been removed. Everything looked good. We're waiting to get the report back here soon from RGD to make sure we get the go-ahead. Everything should be clear. And then we can start talking about the kind of the outside plan of what should be concrete and create some green space also around the building. I talked to the city, and we talked about closing the west half of the alley. The city said, yes, that sounded like a good idea, that they'll take it to the next city board meeting. And Jason didn't know. He said it either it has to be listed three times. He didn't know if that would be three different meetings or if they could do it all at one time. Talk about it three times. So I'll wait back to hear back from them. The brick work is done on the west side of the bus stop. I am getting another bid to see what it would cost to remove the metal awning on the north side of the building. And we have the same thing where there is no brick behind the awning, so that would have to be bricked up to the roof. So I'm waiting on a bid from that. At the detention center.
Dave, on the bus stop, I call it the canopy, not the canopy, the awning, or the thing was above the pumps. We were at one time going to list that. We tried to sell it, didn't get anything for it. We were going to list it then, or Gus was going to visit about listing it. Does anybody?
That's what we did right here. We declared all that awning stuff.
Oh,
surplus.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, we do have interest in that large sign out there. I know the awning, I know we did not. Over the pumps, we did not get any bids on at this time yet. So
that's a package deal, though. But they could probably have the sign cheap if they take the awning.
There you go.
Actually, a canopy.
Canopy. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. No awning,
Mr. Fuel Sales.
I don't know my gas station.
Oh, you? Yeah.
Is there any steel on that we could use for bridge?
Here's what's going on at the detention center. All of a sudden, that's a Duralast roof that was installed in 2006. It's been a good roof, and just this spring we noticed we had two leaks, and even though those appear small, they really let a lot of water in. And so I had Skyline come down, and they patched those two. While he was there, he noticed that there is that is hell damage, and so he checked over the whole roof, and it looks like we do have some hell damage that probably occurred within the last couple of years. And what happens, that goes through the freeze-thaw cycle, which causes that to crack like that, and so it looks like we'll be getting in touch with our insurance and see how much damage we have and what we can do with that.
We always knew the sheriff and deputies were all wet, but now this confirms it.
Dave, doesn't Duralast roof have a 25-year warranty?
They do. It does not cover hell damage.
What's that?
That's the piece of cut.
Oh. What doesn't cover hell damage?
Their warranty does not cover hail damage.
Is that a surprise to anybody that we don't have coverage for something that went wrong?
You're going to get quoted again.
I'm talking about the roof.
What's the point of a warranty on a roof?
Roof.
It doesn't cover hail damage.
People are looking at it, did you?
Yeah.
Well, I think, it has been a good roof. Yeah.
Doesn't cover problems.
Kind of last thing, though, correct?
Yeah. Good idea.
Sometimes.
And last thing I have is we did receive an old chair that was the old bench chair behind the district court bench. Charlie Ellis family donated this to the county. This was the chair that Clyde Ellis, who was a district court judge from 1937 to 1958, used. And so it's good to have that back in the courthouse again. And it looks like it needs a little bit of upholstery work. We have some money left in the Friends of the Courthouse yet, so I'd like to see that chair get refurbished and put back in the courtroom.
That's neat.
Judge Schreiner was happy to see it come back, yes. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization. Oh, anything else for Buildings and Ground? Nope. Equalization. Nothing. Finance and insurance. And we have our insurance group here, but we have an agenda item later for that. So,
would you want?
You want to read?
Do you want to do it now or do you want to do it later? It's a scheduled item, isn't it?
No, finance. Do you want
this is finance insurance.
Oh, never got one, Dawn.
Yeah, you're slipping.
I did get one. I guess it's in there. I am slipping. Sorry about that.
Before Terry reads,
sorry about that.
Let the record show the supervisor.
Bauman. All right.
Somebody forget to call him.
Keating, O'Gara, Nedved, and Peter. Attorney fees, $23,190. MIPS Incorporated, Computer Support Services, $11,857.13. Morse Excavating Incorporated, Removal and Disposal Storage Tanks, $12,500. Region 5 Systems, $22,140.50. Washington County Sheriff, inmate boarding and medical, $13,770.78. Beatrice Sand and Gravel, Gravel and Rock, $59,021.37. RL Team and Construction, Hauling Gravel, $21,813.28. You got it, Don. City Beatrice, quarterly 911 service fee, $52,500.
I know it does.
Is that our alley closer fee?
That's it.
Alley closing fee.
Oh, and I know when Scott was here, we did have a little bit when we had the discussion that, when they did finance Carroll County, Iowa. There's actually boarding inmates, Carroll County, Iowa. Apparently,
so that's pulled out, though.
That was pulled out.
Yeah, you guys said to pull that
pull
out.
Pull that out.
Yeah. That was an extradition governor's warrant. Yeah, so. The guy that was took off before sentencing. I think that sounds like Carroll. Did a shoplifting in Carroll.
It was a claim. It was a claim from the jail over there for boarding an inmate for 79 days, I believe. I can't remember the days, but it was a claim, and Gus said that was the first time he'd ever seen that.
Yeah, because they arrested him on a shoplifting warrant over there, and then he refused to waive extradition, so we had to go through a governor's warrant. We've never had anything come through.
Well, that's why we pulled it, so that you could take a look at it.
There's a claim through for $4,400 and some cents now for boarding an inmate. So.
All right. I'll check with Gus, make sure we're covering it.
What was the worth of the item that he shoplifted? $5? And it cost us $4,500?
Well, it was getting back here for sentencing. I mean, I'll tell you later. But that's, quite frankly, that's what he did. He was shoplifting, so.
But I just want to let
we didn't think we'd come get him.
Yeah, we did not bring somebody over there to house him. I wanted to clarify that, because Scott was here, I know, when we did that. We did not. It's not like Washington and Dawson County where we bring somebody to house him. It wasn't that type of situation. It was a unique circumstance. Hopefully unique. So we're
wanted credit for 79 days in Strider Bros.
Yeah.
And we continue talking about how to fund the judgment, trying to find different means, different ways to find money for it. Preliminary discussions, waiting for our financial analysts to give us a little more information today.
Anything else for finance and insurance?
Oh, our insurance. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, we have an agenda item later, so they're here, and we'll visit about that when they're here. So yeah,
not much for getting in and out.
Les are in a hurry to leave, so
we can't leave anyhow. So we got to vote.
We have at least one quality representative, and then a couple that aren't. So
yeah, human resource.
You get a lot of credit.
Welcome.
Ike.
Human resource, John, anything?
Nothing.
Aren't what?
Law enforcement, emergency management.
See, Lisa's here, and I think she was throwing her arms up like she had something she wanted to say.
I'm tying this into zoning first, because we have our hearings coming up. This is your comp plan, your copy of your comp plan. I believe that, I believe Michelle has given you a copy of the regulations. Have you seen a copy of the regulations?
Yeah, I just asked if everybody wanted a copy.
Huh?
Just okay. Passing this morning if everybody wants.
Okay, so this is what's coming up for hearing August 14th. So the reason I bring this up, it's because this is the last time you'll meet before we have our hearing. I've also included in there, we've got a 3-33 workshop coming in, too, on August 11th. But as far as the comp plan and the zoning regulations, we're ready to go ahead and submit that. We'll be hearing both of the plans and giving a recommendation, hopefully, to you guys to move forward on the comp plan and also the regulations. And as I understand it, you'll have to have two separate hearings on both of them. So,
can we have them on the same day?
That's a question for Hannah, Keelan, or Roger. Can you hear the recommendation?
No, I think we're supposed to do the comp plan first, the regs the second. That's what we talked about.
Separate dates? separate dates,
separate
or could
meetings
they be
or, okay.
separate meetings?
How long do you want to go?
All righty then. Okay. So, but yeah, okay. just
no,
for your
just
review.
So when we set the date, we'll make sure we do that.
I mean, typically you look at there can be a lot of discussion on each item. I'm not going to say one way or another, but
okay.
I mean, the regs are where the changes are.
Sure.
As but opposed to the comp plan. I mean, there's some tweaking on that, but not major stuff.
As far as zoning is concerned, we're going to present the recommendation to you at our hearing on the 14th, and from there you can schedule accordingly. So just keep in mind on the regulations, when you read them, everything in green in the regulations are the changes, or either they've been tweaked by an addition and moved all the numbers up. So that's kind of all I really have. I wanted to just touch on that. So emergency management-wise, we had an exercise yesterday where we did the transport between Mosaic to, now this time, Mosaic to BSDC. That went very well. We had done last month a exercise where we did just flip-flop to residents from BSDC to Mosaic. So coming off the fair, we had good representation from CERT. They helped us, and also hats off to the Gage County Sheriff's Department also for assisting us with everything that we brought in 30,000 people for the Gage County Fair. So with that comes, you know, just precautionary things that we have to do. So we thank you, and also thank you for your support on behalf of the Ag Society. Any questions?
What time's your hearing for zoning?
6:30. This particular hearing where we'll hear it is at 6:45. We convene at 6:30 on 2 weeks from Tuesday the 14th. So, but yep. So that's it.
Lisa, I just have two things. I was contacted by, it was kind of a broken message, but if you could reach out to DaVita, the dialysis facility.
There was
a question regarding disaster planning and emergency weather. They had a question about if there's something we can help them with. And then I was contacted by another person regarding the poultry, new livestock up by Cortland, that maybe some of the completion of the project wasn't consistent with the plan that was presented.
Yes.
I haven't been out there, so I can
share
that with you.
We have addressed that particular poultry operation, and they have completed their mapping, their first original intent, and that's been completed as of, I believe, last Thursday. I haven't gotten up there either, but I'll make it a purpose, and that would be the completion of that project. What we're finding, just for your information right now, the deadline is coming up for Medicare, and so all these little exercises have to be done to be compliant. So that's why we're seeing a lot of, you know, have to be there, try to be an evaluator, that sort of thing. So, and I'm surprised kind of the private entities now that are looking at putting in their own sirens too, so that's increasing. So other than that,
Lisa,
yep.
Concerning private sirens, do they connect into our emergency service? Okay, how do we control the private sirens then? Is it just a deal where they install it and then our system sets it off and we have control of that, or?
So most right now, they just want to be hooked into the same. We would give them a separate frequency. And right now, Carla has no problem with that. There's still enough room. It would just be tied in at the same time if we would activate, let's say, the northern part of Gage County or either all of Beatrice. It would sound at that same time. So as far as they have control over it, if they're using the siren for their own specific needs of, you know, to notify their employees. But, yeah, we're okay there.
Okay.
There's no implied liability for us to make sure that it works.
Well, they would be, as far as what the county's obligation is with 911, I'll check with that, with Carla on that. So, yep, I will check with her. I would think it would have to be on a inspection, you know, yearly inspection, just like what we do here, you know, every time, every once a year, everything goes around and checks the frequencies. But it would also be tied into our first Tuesday of the month, you know, tests too. So we'll be tying that in next week. But so.
Well, Most private places would probably, they'd probably have a safety director or something.
They do, and they're the ones that, well, one of them is E-Energy. They're looking at it because they're kind of tucked out there nowhere. And so although they have a lot of ambient noise, that they've got some special needs as far as the type of siren that they can have and they get. And the other one is Hedrick's Genetics that was looking at a siren too. So, but
it's good that private entities are willing to mm-hmm. put the safety equipment out there. It's just too bad that in this litigious mm-hmm. society, we got to worry about mm-hmm. implied liabilities.
Mm-hmm. Good thoughts. I will check with Bruce Lang and Carla as far as what the requirements would be for that. So,
thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else for law enforcement?
Nope. I don't have anything. Doug, anything happened since last week? I know we didn't have anything at Monday.
Yeah,
so.
No, but Gus and you weren't here Monday, so because of the fair. And
okay, good to go. Okay, we're good.
Road and Bridge.
Discussion on replacing Holmesville and Claytonia fracture critical bridges that need repair. Both of our Holmesville one got repaired, and I think they're working on or will be working on the one by Claytonia, South Claytonia. Also, at the same time, we've asked Galen to maybe talk to Manelli about the cost of a design for a new bridge south of Claytonia.
The one south of Holmesville has been designed, and
I think it's done, isn't it?
The design of the Holmesville Bridge is different.
Right.
Yep.
East 31 Wymore on the bridge deck sub replacement. Galen has visited about easements. Cannot get one person, I better say, to sign. Hickory Road will be closed this morning, which was Monday, for railroad crossing concrete work. Will take about a month, hopefully. had discussion on trees on a township road on 176 road south of 41 highway east of Adams, and we had discussion on the box culvert north Odell, and this time I'd like to have Galen at where we're at on that one, and as well as the one north of on the north side. He said they're making good progress.
The Odell North project, they poured the walls on the box last week. They're scheduled to pour the deck this morning. That'll complete the concrete work on that. Then we have the dirt work to do, and then put the road surface back in on it. Today we're scheduled at 1 o'clock to have a pre-conference meeting on the Adams Northwest Bridge project on the deck. They're scheduled to pour the deck tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock on that project. So that's moved along very quickly on that. So that's the legit on it. And then there'll be the dirt work left on that project, plus the concrete guardrail and approach galvanized guardrail that'll go on that bridge project up north, and it'll be completed.
Did you work on the Claytonia Bridge then, or?
No, I went up and looked on the closure there on 41, and then I talked with the state gentleman, and he said that they're scheduled to hopefully have that 41 reopened by Friday, so we're holding off on closing down the Claytonia until next week on that to help for the traffic to have access into Claytonia better.
Claytonia easier, yeah.
Yes.
And stuff, so. Okay.
Well, this weekend it won't be Claytonia, it'll be Wilmer.
Wilmer, yes.
Yep.
you wouldn't think they would close down a highway going into Wilmer during check days.
No. So,
they will have it open, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Doug had asked me about that bridge in Holmesville. What that was just a temporary repair again, short closure, a couple big angles on the bottom, real similar to what they're doing in Claytonia.
Yes. And we've tried for the last
probably 2 to 3 years to get that on the state projects, but they've turned us down on those. So hopefully we'll reapply again on that one and maybe get something done next year.
I was going to ask Galen, where are we at on gravel for townships? Do you have any idea?
The first week, I believe, I was told we have 10 completed townships for the fall gravel. And that was, like I said, about a week ago. So we're moving right along on that. I think we'll have a good chance to have them all completed by this fall. Things keep going like they have been.
Hey, anything else for Road and Bridge?
I don't see. It's all you guys that he's type journey.
First, next up on the agenda, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove amendment for the sub-grant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program and having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. The purpose of the amendment is to extend the current agreement to account for the work of the county attorney's office that is as it relates to child support enforcement. The amendment is effective from 10/1/2018 through 9/30/2019.
Basically, this is the same agreement we've had with the state of Nebraska for several years. It reimburses us for a lot of Mr. Kravick's work in collecting child support for the county. And so
we also do this for clerk of district court. We'll be getting hers here before.
So it's a very good program for us, obviously. I urge you to adopt it for two reasons. Number one, it's good for the county. Number two, they will stop sending me these danged emails to have me sign it by email. I'm this first time. I mean, my God. It's unbelievable. It just keeps coming. I sent him an email back saying, our chairperson signs that, not me. Well, you're still going to get the emails.
Any more discussion? Eric just stepped out for a minute.
Well.
On the vote, he's not here officially, so. Yep. Vote.
Go ahead.
Well, it's 6-0 in favor because Tiemann has stepped out for a minute. So, next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove county health insurance plan for 2018-2019. We have a motion by Bauman, seconded by Juergens. Come on up. They're also here to talk a little bit about it. Brad and Lowell.
We were instructed to have a brief conversation because you have a lot going on. When you give somebody a good pen, they use it. So I want you guys to use these. They have gold clips. I want you to notice that in their rollerballs, too. So, Danny, that's...
Well, we've already got a motion to approve, so we're not being coerced by a pen.
There. Well, thank you for having us come down, and I'm
going to identify yourself for the record, please.
Brad Swigert. That's what I was just going to do.
Okay.
Sir. Yeah. With Northwestern Mutual and accompanied by Lowell Eisenhower and Amber Verana.
If you wouldn't mind just handing those around, I'd appreciate it.
We'll wait till they get around. But while we're doing that, I'll tell you a Penn story. This is kind of a Roger story. One of my clients in a county out west is an attorney, and she was in the county courthouse of that county, and she saw that one of those pens with a gold clip, and she said, you usually don't see those pens with a gold clip. He said, no, I really like it. I don't know where I got it. And she said, let me see it, and it was mine. So I did end up selling him long-term care insurance later when I called him. So. But anyway, everybody got that. Basically... Thank you again for letting us help you with your health benefits plan. And I'll be brief, but we wanted to give you a one-page recap on what we came up with. So I heard Matt make a couple comments about things. And one of the good things is basically to cut this short, the negotiated renewal is 0.5% increase. So that's really good. And doing our due diligence, what we did is we started with an 11.4% fixed cost with our current carrier and shopped that and negotiated, and were able to negotiate through them with a fixed cost increase of 0.5%. Could end up being 2.6% overall increase with max claim liability, which you haven't hit for years, but it could happen. So basically, that's where that's at. Keep in mind, we still do have the transplant policy, which is separate from that, and that's a 0% increase on that, and we listed that cost at the bottom. And this went out to several carriers, as we do on an annual basis, to do our due diligence in your behalf. And as you know, as Denny pointed out, I do most of this work, and I just bring the other two along. But truthfully, no, Amber's done a tremendous job in negotiating.
No, I said Amber did the work.
I know what you said. I just changed it up little bit.
Oh, okay, all right.
But really doing a good job, and we have great relationships with those carriers to be able to do that. So I can go over it in more detail. They went to all the major competitors in the marketplace. We enjoy a good relationship with Dawn and her staff, doing an excellent job helping with the administration on a local level. And any questions that she may have, I think, have been satisfactorily answered and so forth. And I would mention also, just in a footnote to that, generally we've, you know, hosted that annual meeting with the employees.
Yep.
And it's up to you guys with no change and stuff. I don't know if you want to, I don't want to say waste your time, but to have it, there is no change and we're just a phone call away. We're more than happy to host it if you'd like to do it again. But, you know, it'd be up to you to decide whether it's really necessary with no change whatsoever.
Yes. What do you think? Donna's in charge of that. I mean, what does the board think on hosting that again? Part of what that does also, though, is it gives the employees an opportunity to come and visit with you one-on-one.
Yeah.
And everything. So, that, I mean, yeah. That...
We're more than happy. In fact, we scheduled it a year ago. You probably don't remember. We scheduled it for August 17th a year ago.
The employees enjoy eating off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you got enough pins?
Actually, I do.
I just have a different comment.
Sure.
In a different professional life, I used to work with insurances, and I'm always amazed at how United Healthcare can stay in business because they are chronically higher than anybody else. When you try to negotiate, they're always high. So I appreciate the work you've done, and that's an amazing lack of increase, if you will. But UHC, just they're interesting.
Well, actually, you know, Matt, you know, they're the big player nationally now. Yeah. And they've got a lot of power. They are the negotiating arm. That's why guys like Matt don't like them, really, in being in the forefront of just really beating up on providers. And most providers, in fact, we'll have small groups, you know, medical groups, and they'll go, we don't want United Healthcare. We don't care if they're cheaper or not. Well, it's because they've been beat up by them, and that's kind of what you're sharing.
Even once you carry them, if they are your insurance carrier, then they're difficult to get claims through and payments.
They're tough.
They almost want Medicare rates on some cases.
Yep. And So as you remember, both them and United Healthcare and Blue Cross had great big disputes with providers in Lincoln and Omaha. And that's kind of in the past now, hopefully. But who knows? The jury's out on healthcare, you know, on where the future is. Expensive. That's...
Well, I could get into detail on how horrible they are in paying appropriate claims, but I won't get into that. But I'm awfully glad we're doing business with you. And when I look at what they want as far as increases on some of these, and particularly UHC, just drives me nuts. Absolutely. I see them denying for pre-existing conditions. I see them doing things that are absolutely horrible, in my personal opinion. And
well,
I have been subjected to that personally.
I'll share just a personal thing. My wife, and it's not a battle, but there's been a battle with the reconstruction stuff of cancer. And she was admitted to the hospital overnight because of a terrible, terrible fever and an inflammation on her body. by the infectious disease team, the med center, and they declined the claim, saying that it wasn't medically necessary to be hospitalized. So it got worked out, but you're right. I mean, if people aren't their own advocate fighting with them and others, by the way, and Amber does that every day with all carriers, but you're right. So.
We're so lucky to have Amber, who fights for us as your clients.
No, actually, I want to give you something. You're lucky to have Don also. And
let's not get carried away here.
No, seriously, because, you know.
Yes, we love Don. We know that.
But, I mean, we just work with other groups, so when there's a problem, you know, you can get it headed off before it really swells to something else. I'm always reminded of our first employee meeting, Gary, when nobody had any questions, and Gary got up and said, just a minute, you call me on Saturdays complaining about all this stuff, here's the guys, ask them, you know, and so it's what we do and why we do it.
And I think I get the consensus that most board members think we should have the employees meeting. And I'll agree with that, too,
okay.
Just because it gives them an opportunity to come speak with everybody one-on-one and everything.
Some people won't ask if they're
Yeah. But I know you guys do a very good job at the meeting explaining to them, you know, don't be afraid to call or ask and stuff, because if they have questions or if they're having issues, then they know that there's somebody they can get a hold of.
Plus, you're invited to all the board members.
Thank you.
You have
questions. So, any other questions? Okay.
More questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't have anything to sign today.
No, okay. But we have to vote on this yet.
Yep.
We've had a motion and a second vote. 7-0 in favor. So, thank you. And
okay,
we're
thanks.
Thankful that instead of that original 11%, it come back at a half of 1%. That was some good news for once for the county. So thank you.
You guys can put my name in the paper again on how much money I've saved you, because I think it was last year or the year before when you did that, I got all kinds of calls about how wonderful I was. So thank you.
He wasn't coming down unless you guys name in the paper.
He did.
Put Amber's name in the paper.
You guys still have to leave the county. It's real easy to get your name in the paper.
Don't put our name in the paper, right?
Amber, thank you for writing his notes for him. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming down.
Did you hear that, Chief Deputy? He wants his name in the paper.
Actually, since you mentioned, I do have to tell you a 30-second story. We were on the way to a sister county meeting. We were running a little late, and it was the employee meeting day. And we were going a little fast, and I was driving, like, plus 15, I'd say. And we got pulled over, and I said, hi, how are you doing? And he said, what's your hurry? And I said, well, we're going to that meeting for you guys and stuff. So, fortunately, I didn't get my name in the paper. It was a good time to have that happen, I guess.
Next up on the agenda, discussion on the 2018-2019 county budget. And I do know that after committee meeting, several of you stayed afterwards and started going over the different items. So
we had just initial discussions on stuff, started going through different budgets, looking at what people were looking at on increases. We moved some stuff around, some budget items that should have been in instead of in general, say the general budget into specific office budgets. Looked at some line items that haven't been used for years, got rid of those, some housekeeping, but really it's up in the air still until we have a little more information here.
Moving forward.
We're moving forward. We realize there's some, I guess, some deadlines that we have to meet, and some of those calendar days we're working to get stuff done. We will have closed session here after a while with our attorney group out of Omaha. My understanding is they will be down to explain some of the possible things that can be done as far as paying the judgment. And then we also, at that time, will be having a conference call with the group out of Kansas City that's helping us with some of the financial information. Also, several of our other attorneys will also be down here for the closed session. So we are, as Matt said the other day, he made a comment, and he says we realize where we're at today now, the county's where it's at, and we are working to develop and come up with a possible plan for payment. And that is what this board is working towards. We have a lot of meetings. We've had a lot of meetings with a lot of lawyers, and we are in contact with the plaintiffs through one of our lawyer groups and visiting with them and letting them know also what is going on and what we're trying to proceed with. So we are not just sitting by and doing nothing.
I offer pizza each time to any office that has the biggest decrease. No one took me up on that. If that is an involuntary decrease, that doesn't count. That's only for voluntary initial asking.
You mean nobody last year had a decrease, or you just...
No, we confused the decrease to the increase as a decrease. It's not a decrease. But if it's involuntary... by Don's pen, that doesn't count.
Right. By the chairman of the Finance Committee's pen. Yeah. So, yeah.
Myron?
Yeah.
Going back to what we reviewed on every office, basically, went through every one of them. most of them probably were in that 2 to 3% increase. A lot of them were in that range, but there were a few that were quite a bit higher. Our thought process was for this next coming year, the committee anyway, you know, to hold our budget as close to flat as we could. I mean, if that's going to happen, I don't know, but that's our thought press as going in. So,
our thought process is that those offices, many of them that were asking for huge increases, unless there was really substantial need, that everybody needed to stay in the same increase bracket. And that's what we should give them, and they'd have to live with that. Yeah. Right? If we gave them 2.5 cents, they'd have to adjust their spending in that amount.
Now,
right, Terry?
One difference was our jail, of course, with housing more inmates. We had to make transfers in last year. So that one, obviously, we had to take that into account. It would show a huge increase from last year to this year for budget to budget, but those were outside housings, medical expenses, things that we can look forward to going further, you know, in
something
the future.
Something that, in a budget-wise, we have no control over. I mean, as far as because it's numbers of inmates in the jail, and it's consistently running in the middle. It's running in the 40s anymore, sometimes getting up to 50, which... that is what is happening in our situation here in this county. So, and when we only have approximately 28 or 32 beds over there in that jail over there, we're required to do something else with them. So
we have to be realistic, and, yep. And it's there's no use not planning for it and then yep. having to make transfers later. So that's accounted for in that as well.
And unless... the people of the county start changing some, that direction of the inmate population continues to go up. We wish it wouldn't, but it does. So that is something that the county doesn't have the ability to close the door over there after we're full.
Or can we?
Or can we?
Close the door?
Yeah.
That law you have to provide.
What if we put a sign up that says, sorry, come back tomorrow?
Yeah, we could do like some of the motels do. You know, they have vacancy or no vacancy. And we could put a sign up, put up no vacancy, and then we don't get in. So.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, as Gus and Doug would tell you, they're governed by state rules. They're governed by federal rules, state fire marshal. I mean, I don't know how many visits you get on a quarterly basis over at the jail to make sure standards are being adhered to, which is fine. I mean, I'm not kicking about it, but it makes it a lot more difficult when you look at alternatives.
Just like the Board of Standards with the roads, so if they're going to impose a standard, sure would be nice if they would pay for that standard.
Anything else on the budget or discussion on the budget? I know next meeting, hopefully, we will have some more details. More details as to where maybe the budget will end up going, and also some more details on maybe our other situation with the payment of the Beatrix judgment. So, the only other thing we have on here, and then we were going to have it, our attorneys were not going to be down here until 10 o'clock for a closed session, so we will recess until at 9:39 on the clock until probably around 10 o'clock when we will go back into session and have a closed session. So. At 9:49 on the clock, we will call back, go back into session with our county board meeting.
I'm astounded.
He loves working. And I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session at 9:50 on the clock for necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So move.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Vote 7-0 in favor. Ready? We're on?
You're on.
At 12:07, I'll entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Juergens. Vote?
I know.
6-0 in favor. And just so I'll just put it on record, but there is no comment or no statement coming out at this meeting from our closed session. We will be having a closed session in 2 weeks, and as we proceed through this case, we hope we will get to the point in our discussions that we will start to have some comments. Thank you. Bye. Done. We're done.
Juergens.